South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Monday, May 27, 2024. Kenyan President William Ruto says his country is working for peace in Sudan and South Sudan.
We are working with South Sudan. In fact, as I talk to you, there's a big team in Nairobi of South Sudan, different teams that are negotiating their issues in Nairobi.
And gangs are terrorizing residents in Torit in eastern Equatorial State.
I woke up with the sound of gun. In the morning, I found out that one boy was killed. He was cut and killed.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Kenyan President William Ruto defended his decision to send 1,000 police officers to help maintain peace in Haiti amid rampant gang violence. As he wrapped up his visit to the United States on Friday evening, Ruto sat down with VOA Swahili service reporter Huba Abdi to talk about the decision. Even as neighboring East African countries such as South Sudan and Sudan face insecurity, Ruto discussed ongoing talks in Nairobi to unite South Sudan government and hold out opposition groups for lasting peace, as well as regional efforts to broker peace between the Sudan's warring generals, Army Chief Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, and Rapid Support Forces Commander Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo Ohimiti.
While you have said you're determined to send troops in Haiti, don't you think that there's so much issues within the EAC member state, neighboring countries, Sudan, South Sudan, Somalia, and DRC. Why is it not you concentrate first on these countries that have been having insecurity issues for a very long time?
We have 5,000 troops in Somalia for the last 12 years. We have supported DRC. We are working with South Sudan. In fact, as I talk to you, there's a big team in Nairobi of South Sudan, different teams that are negotiating their issues in Nairobi to have elections and to secure their country. As late as last weekend, we had also teams from Sudan itself, again working towards their peace. So, and we have 15 other countries where Kenya has missions to support peace and security. So Haiti is not an isolated case. The same way we have deployments now in 15 other different countries, including, by the way, in DRC. We have troops under MONUSCO in DRC. The fact that we have troops elsewhere tells you that Haiti should not be an exception. And the same way we believe in peace and security in our own country and in all the other 15 countries, we also believe that we should support the people in Haiti by deploying and leading the deployment.
From Haiti now to Sudan, what are the regional efforts or Kenya efforts in bringing peace to Sudan? And do you still talk to Hemedi and Burhan?
Precisely. We have a robust engagement, and as I have told you, in the Sudan, I had the former prime minister in Nairobi, together with others who are not signatories to the Juba Peace Agreement. They have now signed what they call a Nairobi Agreement to bring together different teams of civil society, of political parties, to be able to think about how they can add the impetus to stopping the war in Sudan and providing a mechanism that eventually will install a civilian administration in Sudan. So those efforts are underway, and we have taken the very firm position that The same way Kenya took a position, IGAD also took a position that we must talk to both sides. We must talk to the Al-Burhan, the SAF side. We must talk to the RSF side, because in peacemaking, you don't talk to friends. You talk to enemies. That's how to make peace. And therefore, we have to talk to both sides. I think when IGAD asked both sides to come for an IGAD meeting, Hemeti showed up. Burhan showed up in one meeting. And then in the next meeting, Hemeti showed up. When Hemeti showed up, the other side says they are pulling out of IGAD because the other side showed up. It is the only way we are going to make peace. This is not the time for sides to decide who talks to who. This is the time for the sides involved in the carnage, in the destruction, in the killings that are going on in Sudan. This is the time for the sides to stop. And they should be the last ones, you know, trying to point fingers this way or that way. We want them to come to the table. We want them to participate in a process. We believe that there is no military solution to the challenge and to the problem we have in Sudan. There is only one chance, and that is through dialogue. And we want to make it a Sudanese conversation led by Sudanese, an inclusive process that not just is not limited to military combatants. We must have women, we must have civil society, we must have political parties participating, because that's the only chance we have to make peace.
That's Kenyan President William Ruto speaking to VOA's Kiswahili service reporter Huba Abdi on Friday here in Washington. From Washington, we move to Eastern Equatoria State, where more than six people were injured and two died after gangs attacked residents in Torit. The spokesperson for police in the state confirms the rampage and promised to arrest young men accused of terrorizing residents in some neighborhoods in Torit. Four people confirmed injured in the hospital with severe cuts. Among them is a woman. Two people died. For VOA News, Kaltuma Vanessa reports from Torit.
Andrew Otok, the chief of Ilangi Boma, says a gang attacked residents, cutting some with machete. He says the attack caused the panic among residents, who are asking security officials to apprehend the gang members.
I woke up with the sound of gun. In the morning, I found out that one boy was killed. He was cut and killed. At the funeral, I found out that also one person in a uniform was also cut. I called mayor, but he was in Juba.
Colonel Matthew Ochan, the spokesman for the South Sudan Police Service in Eastern Equatoria State, says the police have arrested some members of the gang.
Yesterday, at the morning times, we make operations. We want to know who are those. Lastly, we found almost 15 members under arrest, in the custody, under investigation now. The same yesterday, the government of Eastern Equatoria not sleeping. The ranger, the program is strong patrolling day and night. Now people, the situation is safe and people are doing their works. The patrol is continuing. We are working with the TID and other organized forces is working about this one. This was what was happening in Eastern Equatoria State, the capital of Torit.
More than 50 young men went on a rampage, breaking into shops in Torit town on Friday night. Atim Brenda, a Ugandan businesswoman who owns a bar in Torit, says she was attacked by the young men.
Even reaching out, just I was peeping at my door like this. Some of them saw me. They ran, they came to me. Had just come. I collect my padlock. I wanted to lock my counter. Immediately, they have reached in my place, two of them. So I was struggling to lock my counter. One came with a panga, spear. They wanted to cut off my hand. I had just to leave the padlock there at the door. I did not lock it. I came back running behind, screaming, and all my customers ran away. Some of them went and hid themselves in the toilet, others in Abuba's room. Then there's one lady who was inside there with her food. They had to pick her food from the table. They went with that food. The lady was just at my shop peeping what they were doing inside my counter. They were busy. Others were collecting money. Others were collecting beers. The time plus funds, my $800 which I wanted to send for my children fees all collected. Other pounds which I don't know how much is it.
Another Ugandan, Namugera Sharifa, who owns a restaurant in Torit, says she also was attacked by the gang.
I saw some people, but I thought they were people on the street. When I turned around, I saw them entering and they held me from behind. I was fighting for myself, but they were beating me and addressing me, but they did not do other things apart from beating me.
Ochan says the young men and women who are part of the gang have been causing havoc in some neighborhood in Torit. For VOA News, I am Kaltuma Vanessa reporting from Torit, Eastern Equatoria State.
At least 80% of countries are not likely to reach the UN Sustainable Development Goal on maternal mortality. Ahead of the 77th World Health Assembly meeting that begins today, the World Health Organization says 20% of countries are not working sufficiently towards reducing mortality rates. Maureen Ojiambo reports.
In 2020, about 800 women died from preventable causes related to pregnancy and childbirth daily. Amid growing concern, WHO member states starting today will discuss a draft resolution to accelerate action on a resolution on maternal, newborn and child health at the 77th World Health Assembly that starts today in Geneva. Bruce Aylward is the Assistant Director General of the Universal Health Coverage in the Life Course Division of the World Health Organization.
When we look at where we are with respect to maternal mortality, 800 women dying every single day in childbirth pregnancies, 5 million children still dying under 5 every year, as you know, should be absolutely shameful. That is concerning. We're off track. So we have a lot to do.
According to UNICEF, globally, almost 1 in 6 young women give birth before the age of 18. Global progress has been largely flat since 2015, bringing the significant progress made during the Millennium Development Goal era to a stop. In a meeting broadcasted virtually, the Director General of the Federal Ministry of Health in Somalia, Guled Ali, said urgent action is needed to improve maternal, newborn and child health.
We have proposed to this resolution on before or the executive board of the WHO Somalia. The aim we put forward on this resolution was to accelerate actions or efforts of maternal and child mortality rates. We are quite far off track on achieving the SGDs in 2030.
WHO member states, in collaboration with the Partnership for Maternal, Newborn and Child Health, will focus on solutions for action with key interventions by country leaders and partners and the launch of the new evidence products. Rajat Hosla is the executive director of the Partnership for Maternal, Newborn and Child Health, the world's largest alliance advocating for the health and well-being of women, children and adolescents. He says there are challenges in meeting the 2030 Sustainable Development Targets on maternal and child mortality.
But the fact is that we were making immense gains. We were doing very well. We were on the path of absolute recovery from a lot of these issues. Why did we lose the momentum? Why is it that these are not issues that are getting the kind of financing that we expect them to? What happened as competing agendas took over, and why even within the multilateral system, it's not seen as a priority today as it was a few years ago?
The UN says political leadership is needed to refocus the world's attention on the importance of maternal, newborn and child health. At the moment, 63 countries are not on track to achieve the 2030 Sustainable Development Goals for reducing newborn mortality, and 54 countries are also falling short of the under 5 child mortality target. The Assembly this week will focus on raising threats to progress, including geopolitical conflict effects on climate change and how member states can unlock new resources and interventions to advance towards the 2030 targets for women, children, and adolescents. For VOA Africa, I am Maureen Ojiambo in San Francisco.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, South Africa's National Congress Party faces challenges. Find out why after the break.
Hello, listener of South Sudan in Focus. We have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Former President Donald Trump faced sharp skepticism on his presidential bid when addressing libertarians on Saturday. President Joe Biden's weekend remarks focused on encouraging graduating cadres to be guardians of American democracy. VOA's Veronica Baldras Iglesias has the details.
Unlike the supporting MAGA crowds he regularly encounters at his campaign rallies, Donald Trump faced several detractors at Saturday's Libertarian Party National Convention. Booing was heard when the Republican presidential candidate mentioned an article written by political commentator DeRoy Murdoch ahead of Trump's address.
DeRoy wrote, "Donald J. Trump will address the Libertarian Party at its national convention on Saturday. The Libertarian Party should nominate Trump for President of the United States." Whoa. That's nice. That's nice. Only if you want to win.
Those attending did clap and cheer when Trump listed some of his priorities should voters approve of his return to the White House.
On education, we will cut federal funding for any school pushing Marxist and communist race and gender theories on our children. We will keep men out of women's sports. And I will not give one penny to any school that has a vaccine mandate or a mask mandate.
President Joe Biden, who is also bidding to get reelected, addressed a different crowd on Saturday. Graduates of the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, New York.
There's never been a time in history when we've asked our military to do so many different things in so many different places around the world all at the same time.
While stressing that American soldiers will be kept off the battlefield, Biden emphasized the U.S. support for Ukraine. Furthermore, he talked about the role of the U.S. military in defending Israel from recent Iranian drone attacks and the work being done to facilitate humanitarian assistance into Gaza. The graduating cadets were also encouraged to, quote, hold fast to the values they learned at West Point.
But ideas need defenders to make them real. That's what you, the class of 2024, are all about. Defenders of freedom, champions of liberty, guardians, and I mean this, guardians of American democracy.
As the U.S. commemorates Memorial Day on Monday, Biden is expected to participate in the services planned at Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia. The Trump campaign released a statement paying tribute to fallen service members and also announced the launching of the so-called Veterans and Military Families for Trump Coalition, with 175 endorsements to Trump's 2024 presidential bid. This week will be a busy one for the former president's lawyers as they present their closing arguments Tuesday to a 12-member jury in Trump's hush money criminal trial in New York. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
From Washington, we move to South Africa, where the African National Congress Party has been covering South Africa since 1994, when Nelson Mandela was elected president following the end of apartheid. As voters get ready to go to the polls on May 29, the party, known for its opposition to apartheid, faces dissatisfaction from some citizens who feel their party has not delivered on its promises. VOA Nairobi bureau chief Mariama Diallo has this story.
On the streets of Johannesburg, posters of candidates are displayed all over the city. One voter tells VOA he wants continuation and will cast his ballot for the African National Congress. Another one says he's had enough and will vote for the Democratic Alliance.
30 years of democracy is probably 30 years of policy. We need another 30 years of implementing those policies and seeing them coming through to fruition.
Yeah, because they're all about change. Enough is enough. We've had enough of the empty promises.
Housing, water.
In a promo video, ANC leader Cyril Ramaphosa says they've made progress in meeting the basic needs of the people of South Africa.
We are putting South Africa to work by investing in our people to ensure that no one is left behind.
Daryl Glazer, associate professor at the University of Witwatersrand in Johannesburg, says it's going to be the closest election since the era of inclusive democracy began in South Africa in 1994.
All the opinion polls are suggesting that there's a very serious chance that the ANC is going to fall below 50% of the vote and that it's going to be forced into some kind of coalition.
Glazer and other analysts have told VOA that allegations of corruption, scandals, and disunity within the ANC have helped the opposition gain ground, including the Economic Freedom Fighters Party led by Julius Malema, a former ANC youth leader, and the newly formed Umkhonto Wesizwe Party, which former President Jacob Zuma has been campaigning for.
Well, Jacob Zuma's party, Umkhonto Wesizwe, or MK, has been a completely unexpected surprise. I mean, it arrived on the scene quite late in the run-up to the election and completely scrambled everything. The EFF certainly appeals to a certain audience, and it's been growing. In some ways, MK is as much a threat to the EFF as it is to the ANC, if not more so, because it's capturing some of the discontented.
9 days before the election, South Africa's top court ruled that Zuma was not eligible to run for parliament because of a past criminal conviction. The ruling came 2 days after Zuma told thousands of supporters at a rally in Soweto that his MK party would help ease joblessness, among other issues, if it won. South Africa's unemployment rate has reached 32%, according to the World Bank, making it issue number one for many of the voters.
I think our biggest challenge as a country is our rate of unemployment, which is one of the biggest in the world.
I'll be voting for Action SA, and I think that party has got what we have, what we want in the country. Like now, we got a problem with the crime, and there's no work.
For me, it'll be poverty and unemployment. The lack of maintenance of infrastructure is another pressing issue.
Nearly half of the country's 62 million people have registered to vote, says Thabo Masemola, an independent electoral commission official, and he says they are prepared to manage the vote efficiently, as they've done historically.
The certified voters roll is currently sitting as 27.7 million. And we use the voters' roll as the basis to prepare and plan for elections. So all the relevant election material in place.
He says the IEC has accredited 160 organizations, both domestic and international, to observe the election and ensure its transparency. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
That's all we prepared for you on this Monday, May 27, 2024. We now leave you with the song Nyaraga by Unasi.
ochodore inam omiyo oparo dala
maemi kiki ben maemi kiki ben
nyaranga moro akelo msiki chodore inam omiyo oparo dala
maemi kiki ben
nyaranga moro akelo msiki chodore inam omiyo oparo dala
Adonjo dunga kanyo wachamo samaki Dano bea hinya paronge Dano bea hinya paronge Adundo bedo butangi agiera Adundo bedo butangi agiera.
We've been listening to Yunasi and the song Nyaraga you heard there. Kisumu City and the mention of fish. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Helen Krudian, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Chodore inam omiyo oparo dala
maemi kiki ben maemi kiki ben
An editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
On the last Monday in May, the United States honors those of its citizens who laid down their lives in service to their country. This year, on May 27th, small American flags will sprout by the thousands on headstones and memorial plaques in cemeteries across the country, each marking the grave and honoring the sacrifice of a fallen hero. Every year as a nation, we undertake this rite of remembrance, for we must never forget the price that was paid to protect our democracy, said President Joe Biden. We must never forget the lives these flags, flowers, and marble markers represent. A mother, a father, a son, a daughter, a sister, a spouse, a friend, an American. From coast to coast, citizens will celebrate Memorial Day with parades that incorporate military personnel and members of veterans organizations. Politicians will make speeches about courage, dedication, and sacrifice, and Americans everywhere will pause for a moment of silence, in prayer, or just a fond memory of the dead. Throughout the annals of history, our troops have fought for democracy and, if necessary, died for it, said President Biden. Today, their service and sacrifice and that of their families echo far beyond those silent stones out there. We see it in the strength of our NATO alliance, built from the bonds that we forever forged in the fires of two world wars. We see it in the troops still standing sentinel on the Korean Peninsula, preserving peace side by side with our allies. We see it at every base, every barrack, every vessel around the globe, where our military proudly serves and stands as a force for good in the world, President Biden said. On this day, we come together again to reflect, to remember, but above all to recommit to the future our fallen heroes fought for, that generations of service members who died for a future grounded in freedom, democracy, equality, tolerance, opportunity, and yes, justice.
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.